All right, good evening. Welcome to our work session tonight for Monday, February 26th. We'll be changing tonight because the caucuses are in tomorrow. So we're switching to today. Our first topic tonight is the continued discussions regarding the proposed updates to the personnel policy. Ms. Lasher.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. Tonight we're going to try to get through sections 3, 4, 5, and 6. Previously we had discussed the sections before that, as well as the last section. Then after today we'll have 7 through 11 to be discussed. We'll bring back the whole policy based on discussion and city attorney review. And have a second look at it, then bring it to council for adoption. So the sections tonight are section 3, employee recruitment, selection, employment, and termination, 4, benefits, 5, classification and compensation, and 6, leave. The leave section is pretty long, but I think we could just start at the beginning. And we certainly do not have to discuss everything, but we can based on how council feels of what we should cover. So with regard to section 3, page 17, I don't feel that there's anything too significant there. It's just a few tweaks to some language. Page 18, again, some minor changes with regard to some of the language. Page 19, we do have a nepotism policy. It's section 3.9. The nepotism policy has been as it is right now for decades. There was one item that the council may want to consider adding, and that is to add in family members of city council members to the nepotism policy. Is there anybody that has any feelings about whether or not family members should be City Council member family members should be included in the nepotism policy so they would not be hired?
Thank you, Mayor. I just have a question. Would that extend beyond, like, immediate family? So, basically a family that most likely resides in the same residence and extend to, like, cousins? That sort of thing, or like how?
No, we can, Councilmember Hill, we can add actually a definition, of what family would be. I don't see it extending to cousins or aunts and uncles.
Okay.
So currently it doesn't preclude a council member's son or daughter to work for the city?
Correct.
I am not in favor of adding city council. I think if a city council member had son or daughter that wanted to work for the city, you know, obviously they're going to need to be on good behavior. You know, I don't think they would let him. I don't think he would let him, or she, or he would let him, so their child work here if they weren't going to be on good behavior. I think it's a good learning experience. Having a family business for many years, I had my kids into the family business, and I mean, it just taught them a lot of good stuff. So I would not have. I personally don't think.
I'm sorry, my ears are plugged up.
I was just saying, I'm not for adding the city council in the nepotism prohibit council person's family member to work here. It has not been a problem as long as I've been here. And I know that we've had other council members, family members work for the city in public works in the parks area. It wasn't a problem.
Mayor, just to that, it doesn't happen often, and from my understanding, we haven't had any major issues. It's just now's the time of going through it and seeing the thoughts of council.
Ms. Musgrove.
Thank you, Mayor. The paragraph two down from the paragraph I think that we're discussing has some clarifying language in there about who is allowed and who isn't allowed and where they're allowed to work at. Does that already kind of spell it out? And do we then need to change, if we add it up above, do we need to change that language below?
No. That language is fine the way it is.
Because it says an employment of a spouse of an elected or appointed officer or an employee not prohibited.
Right, because marriage is protected against discrimination in the hiring process. Nepotism policy cannot apply to an employee's spouse.
Okay.
Oh, interesting. Is that newer? Just out of curiosity.
It is not new.
Because when we were on the past school board, a guy had to step down from the school board because his wife had hired as a para. What if that wouldn't have applied? That's beside the point. It's just interesting.
Mm-hmm. I think they overstepped.
That's where they consult their own attorney. No, that's
I know. I'm just like, I'm surprised, right?
They said we didn't need Fritz.
Okay. Thank you for that feedback. On page 20, 3.10, probation. This is a significant revision that staff is proposing. And the proposal is to go from a six-month probationary period to a one-year probationary period, and then still keep the option there for the city administrator to extend probation 90 additional days if needed. There have been instances where 6 months is not enough, and that is why we have put this language in. Of course, this would only apply to non-union at this point. However, I feel that this would be a step to hopefully extending it to a future contract with unionized employees.
Some unions are a year. Sure.
Yes, let me clarify. LELS patrol and sergeants and captains are a one-year probationary period. So patrol officers obviously are coming in as a new employee. Sergeants and captains would be very likely a promotion from within, but they're all already at 1 year, and in addition to firefighters are 1 year.
Ms. Musgrove.
Thank you. So I'm just curious about the language of, or maybe the purpose of probation versus training. I mean, like somebody comes on and they're trained in their job. Is that a part of probation? Like they're not getting the skills or they're not able to safely perform the job? That's,
well, training is part of probation, but it isn't the whole picture, because once an employee is trained and performing the job, then they're still subject to probation to make sure that they're doing it well and not calling in, you know, too much and that sort of thing.
So I guess I have a question about, I mean, like my probation at work is 90 days. So I'm just wondering, what is it? Maybe that's too short of a time for the city. I'm not sure, but what is the benefit of having it longer as far as what value is that to the city versus leaving it at 6 months?
Sure. Well, the city has non-union employees, which is generally the personnel policy. However, we also have contract employees, AFSCME contract. There's about 55 employees covered by the AFSCME labor agreement, and that is subject to due process. So once an employee passes probation,
it becomes much harder.
Even to issue a verbal reprimand, it's often grieved, and then you're into this grievance process. So actually, some of the lead workers in the union that I'm speaking of had actually requested this.
Okay, so it sounds like it would be of value.
Ms. Hall.
So I'm super supportive of going from the 6 months to a year. Do you feel like the extension of 90 days, that would make it like 15 months, that that's really vital?
Councilmember Hall, I feel that it would be really unlikely to have to go into that 90 days at the city administrator's discretion. It's just a handy tool to have in your back pocket in the event that some unusual things start happening.
Okay. An example might be, you know, at a certain point they can say, well, we'll give you another 3 months to turn it around or something. Probably it's just a nice another box to, I mean, I support it. Everybody good?
So I have a follow-up. So do you see that as prohibitory if someone's looking at employment, that probation, if they're looking at a job here versus somewhere else and it's a 15-month probation potential versus 12 months, that?
So this was discussed. And of course, anybody that we have already hired would not be held to this standard. Because their offer letter said 6 months, and we would honor that. I don't feel like it's going to be an issue, but I haven't done it yet. It has not been an issue for firefighters or patrol officers. I hope it wouldn't be an issue, and I don't think it will be. Brian and I discussed it.
One thing we would continue to allow employees to utilize vacation time, so it's not like, I know some probationary periods, it's you're here, you can't use vacation, anything of that nature. We don't restrict that, so.
What do benefits kick in?
Day one.
Yeah, day one, okay. So I don't see it being a problem. Everybody good with the change? Okay.
Yes. All right, moving on. Section 3.11, you will see that it went from a few sentences to quite a long description, and I highly support this. I think it's a good idea. Brian and I went through it. Previously, it only was written to apply for patrol officers or police officers, and the police department has their own policy. As it states down here, one of the last bullet points says that departments may have stricter policies. But I feel this is a very good policy to have more detail in. I have been here a long time and have experienced an employee doing a whole nother job while they're on the clock here for Ramsey. And it was obviously unacceptable, but we didn't actually have it in writing that it wasn't allowed.
Questions on this?
Okay. All right.
Well, now you're going to have to quit for the job.
All right, I think the rest of page 21 is self-explanatory. Section 3.13 on page 22 is entitled Resignations. And many cities, and I can provide more documentation if you need me to provide more documentation at the next meeting, but many cities are offering early notice incentives. Currently, our sick leave severance tops out at 40%, and that's with either a 2-week or a 4-week notice being provided to the city. Many cities are at 50%, and a you are offering early notice, so if you turn in your notice and say, I'm going to retire in 3 months, maybe the city council is interested in giving it a higher increase or higher percentage to the sick leave severance. It generally takes 11 to 12 weeks to hire somebody, and if it's a single person holding that single job class, you know, like say our payroll accountant or a position where there's just one person in that role, it is a hardship. We are not that deep in our staffing, and so it may be something the council would like to consider in terms of offering an early resignation benefit.
So you're saying that we would just go to 50%? You're suggesting 50% if you give a 3 month?
Well, there's more to come later in that, but yes, that's one idea. Or you could say 10% greater what you would normally get. So, like me, right now I fall in the 37% category, so then potentially the council would say, okay, if you give a 3 month notice, instead of 37%, you can have 47%. It's just one idea.
The comment in the to the side there, we roughly calculated, you know, if someone has maxed out sick leave accrual and when we're adding 10%, so to the long or the highest payout, which would be bumping it to 50%, we figure it's about on average $2,000 extra per person. But that number could fluctuate depending on other changes to the policy.
That's right. I actually really like this. I think this is a good way to help planning and succession. I'm on board with this, generally speaking.
I think it's a solid way to, especially if you're trying to recruit on the recruiting side, you're trying to get and replace, you know, which is the training time, that'd be good. Okay.
Just we'll kind of plug in 10% now, and you know, maybe it gets adjusted later on, but that's what we'll plan for now.
That's very important.
Is there a metric that we could use to potentially find what would be like where we're at now to where we should be, or are we randomly picking 10%?
The City of Champlin offers a 10% increase to employees that are retiring. They've got some kind of unusual language in their policy that isn't really foolproof, but Champlin says, if you retire and you start drawing your pension, we'll pay you 50% instead of 40%. I called and asked them, you know, what's the logic there? Because it had me stumped, and the gal told me that they don't want people jumping ship for that extra 10% and then going working for another city. However, employees can sign up for their pension and then change their mind. So I don't feel like their strategy is, it's probably a good strategy, but it's not foolproof. But many, many, many cities are at 50%. Regardless. There are a few, at least, that are 50% after only 5 years of service.
So what's up?
Are some of these terms in the union contracts, or is this just citywide policy?
The current percentages and years of service requirements that are in the personnel policy, so after 5 years, 33%, after 15, 37, et cetera, that mirrors the union contracts.
Timing-wise, we would just focus on, that would be one focus to update that during the negotiations on if this changes at all, we would.
Kind of my comment, like this might be a good way, some goodwill for the unions too.
I like the 10% versus the 50%. 10% additional, because everybody's going to be on a floating.
Are you referring to it as it applies to the early resignation notice?
Yeah.
Okay. But not just in general?
Not in general. Just
okay.
I think, Mr. Mayor, and it's probably is an issue, but my thought is, what, like 3 months, like kind of a lame duck situation. I mean, I guess we need it though, because if you have nothing versus someone that's probably not as motivated, yeah. I mean, I guess it's something we have to have. So, is there any kind of clause where, like, if you mutually agree upon, because you find a replacement right away, to leave early or something, if they, you know, something does come up sooner.
Our thoughts on this is it's going to apply mostly to people who are truly retiring, mm-hmm. Versus someone who's going on to another employer. You know, in that case, they've already decided they don't want to be here. What, you know, are they really going to stick around 2 months longer for an extra? I mean, in that employee is most likely not someone who's been here to max out their payout. So they're looking at more of that 33% payout versus 40.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So section 4 is.
We didn't. We got one more.
We don't.
In the resignations, the.
Layoff.
No time off during the resignation period.
Oh yes. This is very important.
Yeah.
I hate to admit it, but in years gone by, there have been employees allowed to drag out their vacation time, basically changing them into a non-benefit eligible status by working far less than full-time. For example, maybe an employee was approved by their supervisor to work 1 or 2 days a week for the next 4 months. Well, that gets them city benefits, and I want to put a stop to that. And so that's what this added language is.
And then to add to that, there are times where it's nice to accept a resignation and have that employee move on.
Yes.
And then in that scenario, can we say, thank you, we're going to have this effective immediately, but you're going to be considered in good standing? You know, kind of eliminate a thorn in the side, lack of better term.
That's that last sentence,
yeah.
At the city administrator's discretion. That would be a piece of it.
That's right.
Thank you, Mayor. So, if somebody is given approval for less hours to work and what the job demand is and what they were hired for, how is that not an offense where they could be released for not filling their job?
I'm not following your
question. If we hired them 32 hours a week.
They were supplementing it with vacation time that was on
right.
the books.
Yes. Oh. So,
and we get paid. You get paid vacation while you're on vacation. You get paid.
Yes.
Like,
yep.
Are
it's
you accrue vacation?
It's considered working.
Yeah. So, using compensatory time off, using vacation leave, it's considered working, and it goes into the equation of qualifying you for city benefits.
Yeah. It's a very generous thing that we offer. It's not the real world.
What's that? I'm paying out.
I don't accrue hours when I'm on vacation. I mean, I don't accrue benefit.
No, what we're saying is in the past scenarios, it was, you know, I had a bunch of hours on the books, and I know I wanted to retire, but I wanted to maintain some benefits, so I'm going to say, okay, I want to work as far as the bookkeeping goes for 2 more months, and I'm going to use up my vacation over that 2 months, continue to receive employer paid benefits, but only come in to work actually 1 or 2 days a week.
But also accrue more vacation. Because while you're on vacation, your vacation accrues.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
When you're sick,
true.
Your vacation accrues. Right? I mean, all of those things. That's what I'm referring to, is that, like, that's a very generous policy that we have
Yes, it is consistent through all the union contracts and very consistent among public employment, but it is.
I guess healthcare didn't for me, and neither do where I work now.
Thanks for sharing that you've been doing that, though, Brian.
I'm not retiring.
You just said I, and the whole...
I used it as an example.
Oh, okay.
I put that at home.
I think for that, supportive of that language, if that is what will help you guys with managing those situations, I think that...
Yeah. Thank you, because when the policy is silent... There may be agreements between supervisors and employees that I'm not aware of until it's happened, but now we can have language. All right, I think we're ready to move on to section four, which is...
I'm sorry, Colleen, if I may, Mayor. There's other things that I have on section three, so I didn't know if you wanted to wait and go back to them, or...
Yeah, right. Now it's fine.
Section 3.2, where it says the deadline for an application may be extended by the city administrator, and then unsolicited applications will not be kept on file. Can you just explain the benefit of that versus having a deadline that's a deadline?
The benefit of having a deadline is that we have timelines for every recruitment, and we have lined up interview panels with many people within the departments to set time aside for, you know, sitting down, you know, X date at X time to interview 10 people or what have you. If we just left it open-ended, which we sometimes we do, it's called open until filled, but normally that's with the seasonal situation, it would be very hard to manage our schedules and our time without having a deadline. It works very well the way we run it now with a deadline. The option to extend the deadline would be in the event that we don't get enough qualified applicants. You know, we've got a really nice job. We wanted to see at least 8 people, and we've got 1 or 2. You know, we want to extend that to get more applications in.
And then applications that you're not asking for, meaning if somebody comes in and says, hey, I'm new to the area, my background is engineering, do you have any openings? I'll leave my resume. They're not kept?
Absolutely not. It's a liability. It's a huge tracking issue. But what we do say to them is that if you go on governmentjobs.com and you sign up for areas that you're interested in, say public safety or building inspections or what have you, when we have openings, you'll get an email from us.
Okay. All right. Thank you. In 3.3, I think you already answered my question about training versus a probationary period. Because in here it says 3.3, paragraph 2, has successfully completed the training period versus a probationary period. And I didn't know if those words were interchangeable, if this one is intended to be training versus probation. So I wanted, I guess...
It really, I think it should be changed to probation. That was an oversight. Do you agree, Brian?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we're staying on 3.3. I think meeting the... The second paragraph and the first paragraph are redundant in meeting the qualifications, meeting the minimum qualifications, and I'm not sure if that is necessary with the two different thoughts in those paragraphs, or if it's already declared in the second paragraph that they meet the minimum qualifications. So, actually, I just wanted to point that out.
Councilmember Musgrove, are you saying that paragraph number one as compared to paragraph number two is redundant?
I'm sorry, two and three. Initial recruitment is open, and then there's 1 point and 2 point. The second point is meets the minimum qualification for the vacant position. And then the last sentence on the third paragraph says a candidate must meet the minimum qualifications. It's just, I didn't know if that language is intended to be redundant, if it's necessary. I'm kind of open to both ways, but when I was reading it, I was like, we've already stated they have to meet the minimum qualifications. I'm not sure if the second one is a different purpose for having it restated.
The third paragraph, in my view, is more talking about the job description.
Okay.
Setting the qualifications for the job description.
So I don't know, maybe adding job description. Meeting minimum qualifications of job description. Just food for thought, I guess.
No.
3.4. I noticed that there was a change from he, she to they, and I think I saw it twice in there, but there's other times where it was inconsistent, where it wasn't changed. So I think leave it he, she. It seems to flow consistently throughout the document. So I wanted to mention that.
So can I, the intent was to do a search, a find and replace, look for his, her, he, she, and change it to they or their. It's not,
I mean, we're talking singular, cleaner. So the he, she match is the English language where you're talking about a candidate, he, she, versus a plural.
They is still singular.
I actually looked at those same things and just feel like it doesn't flow well, but I had a different suggestion. So for any of the areas where you have any of the pronouns, which would not leave anybody out, would be to switch it to if a candidate is rejected for employment based on the results of the medical exam, the candidate will be notified of this determination to the extent required by law. So you can just reiterate the position throughout, and then there's no exclusion of anyone. And it addresses concerns about the English language.
I think that sounds nice, flows well.
And then you don't have he slash she there either, which is kind of messy. So that would be my suggestion.
Probably apply to like employee.
So anywhere in the document, just take the word from the sentence, yep, and reiterate it.
Another example, if it says the city administrator should blah, 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 or his, her designee, you would say, or the city administrator's designee.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay.
And then 3.5. I think when I first read this, it didn't flow well, but then I think as I read it again, and maybe here's where it's the selection process will be a cooperative effort between the city administrator and the designee manager.
It's missing the word and. I had actually made a note.
Oh, okay, perfect. Okay. And then paragraph, or 3.5, last paragraph, it says the city has the right to make final hiring decisions based on qualifications, abilities, experience in the city of Ramsey needs. Is it city or city council at that point?
City council.
Yes.
And 3.8, sorry.
No, I appreciate your...
new position, under a new position paragraph, city administrator direction versus policy regarding hiring. I don't know if the city creates a new position and meets the public service needs, position will be filled according to the city administrator's direction, or the city's policy regarding hiring. I didn't. We recently had a new position, so it's not that far out of our purview. I just wanted to bring that up and see if there was something that maybe needed to be changed with that language of the city administrator versus like the policy for hiring. I don't know what your thoughts are on it, but.
I think at the very beginning it says the city administrator or designee will administer the recruitment process, not those exact words.
I'm wondering if it's even needed. I mean, because this whole policy calls out the recruitment process.
Yep.
We could, I think we could just drop the new position part of 3.8. and rename it reclassification.
But do you think reclassification should stay in there?
Yeah. Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. But I agree.
Okay.
I mean, if we have a new position, we're going to go through a recruitment just like any other.
Yes.
It's vacant or.
3.10. I think we talked a little bit about this with the 90 days. I'm sorry, I've covered that one. 3.11. I guess I did have a question and I didn't ask it, but what if you're on a board, which is a non-paid position, so it's not really like other employment, but yet you still have the ability to influence city policy and city direction? So I didn't know if there should be language in there regarding that. There should be disclosure, or it's not really like another employment, but.
The very last sentence at the very bottom does, it says, except for compensation received in conjunction with military service, holding a political office, or appointment to a government board or commission compatible with city employment. Were you looking for something more than that?
I guess that does cover it, but.
I mean, we just had the recent one, like Sean, to apply and serve on the CM, forgetting all the letters associated with it, but it was enough of a, you know, we questioned it enough to understand more and ultimately bring it to council and kind of say, heads up, this is what we interpret it as. We don't feel like there's a major conflict of interest just because knowing that he'll have to abstain from anything related to the city of Ramsey stuff that we send that way. So, you know, I think as we become aware of things like that, we assess it and take the next steps necessary. So.
Thank you, Mayor. I guess I have those same concerns too, like if it's, you know, some sort of organization that might be looking to have influence on the city or have a vision that could be a very good vision, but just if a position in the city is too closely related and those things get very intertwined, that does create some concern for me too. So I guess I
more of a local nonprofit that only focuses on Ramsey?
I don't know if they'd only focus on Ramsey or not, but yeah, something where it'd be more volunteer, but just where it could end up being a really small group that's, it's just intertwined and it really influences a vision and it's not very disclosed. I do have concerns about that. I think with the, in, you know, with the position Sean was looking at, I mean, that seems broader and not so focused just on us. So that almost feels better to me than if it's really focused just on our city.
Would that be something that we could discuss, though, when it's brought up?
I think it wasn't, though. So I'm just thinking, like, if it isn't and it happens, and it just... I don't know, because it could be, we don't know what's a nonprofit's vision, which could be a very good vision, and we don't know what's an employee's vision, and which one's being pushed to the council, is how it can kind of start to feel. And that is a little concerning to me. So I see your point about finding a way to add something in there might have some value. I don't know what that would be.
If I could, just to clarify, you're talking beyond employment, like volunteering as well? I just want to understand. I don't know.
Yeah, so I think when like you have like a nonprofit or something that maybe wants to have a vision and influence the city to some degree, or vision, it could be a very good one, they bring it to the city, right? And then we have an employee that's a part of that. But the council doesn't know, and visions are brought to us of what to do, but how much of it is the nonprofit's vision that an employee is pushing, or the nonprofit's vision, and when do they become intertwined? And it just feels, just, I don't even know how to describe it. It just feels a little bit odd to me.
I'm not disagreeing, but I also want to at least say I don't want to put more prohibitions on somebody volunteering for something outside of their day job. That would be my concern. I get what you're saying. Like, yep. I don't know what you're specifically referring to, but I understand your concern. But I also wouldn't want to stifle somebody from working with Stories Cafe or something like that. Or, like, does then Dan or my time at Youth First get in the way? Because it's also a nonprofit serving the city, and we're serving on their boards or volunteering for them. So I understand your point. It's muddy, I guess.
It is a little muddy.
Yep.
And I think the way that Sean's willingness to participate in that board and wanting to be on there was handled very well. It was transparent. It came to us, and we knew all the details. It was explained really well in the case. I think we now all know that this is Sean's, area where he's going to be participating in, and so if there's a case that comes forward, we're all going to know that. If it doesn't come forward, I don't know if, again, because this is, if they're not employed, but they still have an influence, I don't know if there's something that can be stated that said that it will be disclosed, that there will be transparency with that if there is a conflict of interest with that. So I think maybe in an effort to move on to other things, that maybe this is something that we can continue to have a discussion around and thoughts on, and maybe now that we all have an idea that, hey, there's some concern about it, how can we make that language work in there, but still not just...
It just feels to me like we're trying to put a language to cover something. That's how hypothetical that... just don't know that it's something that's out there that may happen, but we're trying to find a catch-all word to cover that. It just feels like we're trying to take it too far. That's all.
Thank you. So I guess I would have a suggestion. I think to the point of how it was handled with Sean's, what he's doing, if we have another situation where employees are part of a volunteer organization, I think just be that does want to participate or bring things forward to the city, or there might be a conflict and they have their vision, that we just know that the employee is part of pushing that vision, and which ones are and which ones aren't, just so it's very transparent. I mean, maybe that's what we're looking for.
This was nope. Oh, yeah.
I'm all agreeing.
Thank you, Ms. Mayor. I understand here where all of this is going, but I think it's getting a little maybe invasive. I mean, a second employer is one thing, and I get that, and it makes sense. But I think if you get beyond that, it's almost like we're saying, so what are you doing in your free time? And I think it's good for somebody who's stepping into something that may be a conflict of interest to bring that forward, but I don't know how you put that into a policy. The way we did it with Sean was great. Everybody keeps bringing that up, but that wasn't a policy at the time. That, I think, just... was a demonstration of how the policy would work when you're talking about an additional position. But
stop.
Colleen, is there a separate section in policy that would cover something like
yes.
that?
Yes.
Perfect. That's what I just realized.
Yes. There's several pages of perceived conflict of interest, potential conflict of interest, real conflict of interest. There's several pages that we haven't got to yet.
Perfect.
And that's actually what we applied against Sean's situation. The more, you know, but.
Are you good?
Yeah, I agree.
Right.
I don't have any more on section 3.
Okay. Thank you.
Think about section 2, though.
It was a long time ago.
All right. Section 4. Group benefits. I don't have anything on this page except a title change. Page 24, 4.5. We no longer offer flex spending accounts. It was a change in our benefit administration that Brian and I in finance worked through. However, the health savings accounts were not addressed, and so it fits nicely to replace flex spending. So I added 4.5 health savings account, which is tied to our health, our high deductible health plan, rather than flex spending.
You can keep talking.
Flex spending was costing the city a monthly fee of $225 for the benefit of a handful of employees. So it took some doing, but we no longer offer flex spending because it was very expensive to administer, and employees are loving their health savings accounts.
Clarification, Colleen, is the flex spending the payment for not taking insurance through the city?
No.
Okay.
No, it's a
okay.
Used device. Yeah.
Got it. Thank you.
4.6, you see I've added the language unless otherwise required by federal or state law. That is getting at, we have a couple officers who are now on paradisability that we are required to pay for their health insurance so long as they stay disabled. That's why that language is added. Is the non-union post-employment healthcare savings plan. You'll see that I add language there to account for ESST. There isn't much to talk about here other than that you may be interested to know that I'm conducting a survey right now amongst employees to see if they have any interest in making changes to this plan design. This plan design, I think, has been in place since 2008. And, you know, it's time to take another look at it.
Just to add to that a little bit, changes to this would not increase costs to the city. This is just, you know, how the payout occurs that an employee is allowed per the policy as a whole. So, you know, under the vacation section for non-union, right now the policy says, you know, you're allowed this much payout of your vacation. This section really only says of what's being paid out, how is it going to be administered upon the payout? So as employees, if the group is saying, yeah, we want to increase that and send more to the post-employment, that doesn't cost the city anymore. It's just how does the employee's earnings get broken up. The one thing that could change would be if the sick leave payout is adjusted by council. Mm-hmm. But does that make sense?
Are we ready for section 5?
I was born ready.
All right, so section 5, it's pretty straightforward, stating how we would handle overtime. Also, the second paragraph, there's clarification there. That language talks about holidays being granted based on the hours that are budgeted on January 1st was inconsistent with the AFSCME contract. And so the language that you see revised is now consistent with the AFSCME contract, but I do see a typo between those two blue sentences. So it has to do with that the holiday will be paid based on the average hours worked in that pay period when a holiday is paid out. So now, if that's approved, it will match the contract.
I have a question on the first paragraph, the last sentence that was added. No employee will be permitted to work overtime without the prior approval of their department head. Other areas of the policy, it says, or designee.
Mm-hmm.
I like to have a say with the department head because the department head is paid more for that particular type of job. Duty where as far as like managing the hours that people are working and what they're doing and such. So can you just talk a little bit about why it, here it doesn't say it?
Yes. And actually Brian and I did talk about the word designee. There's a lot of words in there. There's a lot of times it says designee. There's two ways to look at that. Like Brian explained, if I have something to say, I'm going to go to the department head. But the other way to look at it is, what if the department head is out of the country and not available? They have a designee. And in this case, if overtime is needed, it's pretty time sensitive. So it really, I think, it doesn't say designee, but maybe in this case it should. Because, you know, if there's a need for overtime, then there's a need for overtime. And if the department head is not available, somebody's got to approve it. We would not allow employees to just say, oh, I'm going to stay an extra 5 hours at time and a half, you know.
The other thought on department head, though, too, was they're the ones that are responsible for their budget. So, you know, if you've got, you know, an example of, let's see, a parks maintenance worker going to a lead parks worker. You know, who are we really wanting to say overtime's allowed? To me, I think it should go to the department head, as they're the ultimate responsible party for that department's budget. And
just goes up. Could we say something like department head or city administrator?
Sure.
I feel like that way you have kind of the second factor if somebody is on vacation. I also had a question about the last paragraph of 5.1. It seems redundant to what we were just recently talking about not having secondary employment. So I don't know if that is different or the same.
It's different in Councilmember Westerhoff. You'll see the very last words of that say, such as with Anoka County. It's been years now, but we had a full-time regular office supervisor in the police department that also worked for Anoka County and then overlapped her time in the office here. But it was sort of a mutually beneficial arrangement, and we had it in writing. Probably never happened again, though.
I think maybe such as with Anoka County is kind of leaving it up to a past example, but maybe it should say and is subject to a written agreement with a third party. I mean, you'd have to have that written agreement. So whether the example of Anoka County or whatever, I mean, you wouldn't be able to do it without a written agreement.
So it does say subject to a written agreement with the third party.
I could take such as an Oakland County.
And approved by city council. I don't know if that's necessary or not, but I just think that would bring transparency to it if that's needed. I'm kind of wondering if what Mr. or Councilmember Westerhoff said about it being redundant, if it's needed or not needed. I will look to you for that clarification.
To maybe help us understand, Colleen, this employee in the past, mm-hmm. were they paid by Anoka County and the city of Ramsey?
Yes, and it went through finance. I don't remember the details, but she did earn extra money because she was an exempt employee in the police department doing extra work. There was some formula that it was worked out with finance. I don't remember. This is going on 15 years ago. And it had to do with when they were converting over their records management.
But did the check come only, the payroll check only come from the city of Ramsey and the county reimbursed us? Or did, the way I read this, because I myself in the past, I was employed by Hanover but worked for Dayton. Dayton paid Hanover for my time.
Right.
That's the cleanest way to do something like that.
That may, I don't remember. I honestly don't remember that, how that was handled.
I like the cleanest way. if there's, you know, I know that Diana does designated hours, like in enterprises, you know, funds, or if it's park related or if it's street related, she'll, you know, put hours in out of those categories. I mean, do we have to have something to this? We just have like no.
We'll put a star next to this paragraph and we'll talk about it more.
That's good. Position descriptions. That's pretty self-explanatory. Any questions there? Same with the next page. Unless there's something you want to discuss, I'm looking at page 28. There is some significant content here on page 28 with regard to the compensation plan. And you can see how this language has been added. Basically, we want to stay on top of our wages, making sure we're within the proper range, that sort of thing. Even beyond what AFSCME thinks we should do. If you recall, there was a request for a couple employee groups to have their wages looked at, and if it had stayed at that, we might have been able to make an improvement, but AFSCME didn't want to limit it to that group, and therefore we were not able to be competitive in that area. This language added, it's our hope that all positions would be looked at on a regular basis, and we think it makes sense to align it with negotiations.
I understand the sentiment, but I feel like different labor unions renew or have negotiations at different times occasionally. Does that, when you say simultaneously with the renewal of the city's labor agreements, is that like within that particular department, or are you talking about the entire city staff?
Actually, we have managed to keep all unions on the same schedule.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Comfortable with adding the language?
So I guess I'm not sure what language is really added other than the name, the change in the titles in there. I would think that as people are doing their job and the department heads are managing the job duties, that they would be on an ongoing basis assessing what classification they're in and if they are doing more or less. Is that not just an ongoing process with the department heads? Or is it getting lost?
I'm going to say it's possibly not. I don't know. If it's brought to our attention, I look into it. Of course, it has to be in alignment with pay equity and PELRA. But the Labor Management Committee and the employee survey has focused a lot on basically, hey, let's stay on top of this. Let's not let things start falling through the cracks. Can we have something put in policy that says it's going to be looked at on a regular basis? Those were comments that were made. And this is an attempt at that.
And in that same vein, you know, the previous labor agreements were 3-year terms. So in this scenario, there wouldn't be any looking at pay scales within that 3-year window. And then yet again.
That is correct. Okay. These 3-year contracts that we're in right now is the first time that I've ever had a 3-year contract in 20 years.
Sure.
We've had 1-year contracts and we've had 2-year contracts. The 3-year contract was nice administratively, but there are a lot of things that come up in 3 years that maybe need to be addressed.
I think the other thing that this thing does is it sets the expectation and understanding of both council and staff of when the review is going to happen. If you read the old language, it kind of said annually, but you know, quite honestly, I think if the non-union employees were getting pay adjustments mid-contract and all of a sudden the contract isn't getting opened up to adjust the unionized employees, you know, that could create some bad morale, where this language, I think, tells all employees that, hey, if it's a contract negotiation year, you can understand that the compensation package will be looked at. It's not giving any promises that it'd be adjusted, but you know, it'll be looked at. If it's a 3-year deal, hey, we looked at it, and we at least looked at all of the positions. And to Colleen's previous example, hopefully by, you know, making sure that we're looking at all positions, we're in a better spot down the road where the city can negotiate what positions are being looked at versus just kind of following along with what the unions ask to look at.
So. Yes.
Can I just ask a clarifying question, Mayor? So I just want to understand if an employee is one classification and in the middle of a contract their job duties change or it opens up and they're reclassified, that's allowed, right? It's not like they have to wait for the next term for the contract. I mean, there's reclassifications that are happening during the contract time. So
yes,
if somebody's job needs to be reclassified, I just want to make sure it's not held up by a union contract as far as like the time frame, because I know that we've reclassified people during this time. So this is something that's a little different than that, just somebody needs to be reclassified. We're looking at just across the board.
Yes. In fact, I would say that this really does not have to do with reclassification, this particular section.
But it's titled reclassification.
The compensation plan?
5.4 compensation plan.
Sorry. I was still on 5.3. Sorry. Like, didn't move ahead. Sorry.
All right.
So we're good with doing what the change on it?
It's my understanding, based on what we just talked about, that the markup on my page 28 is the council's in agreement with the way it's marked up.
Everybody good? Okay. All right.
All right, now on the next page, this gets a little detailed. So there is a section there for market adjustment pay. And so it's the language is currently at 5%. The proposal here is to give the city administrator discretion to make an adjustment if necessary to 10%. This would have to be handled very carefully with the language in PELRA, which is the statutory language for public employment, as well as pay equity compliance. And so I think it would be used very rarely, but it is a tool that can help us react after justifying it, you know, no rash decisions, but if we need to make, if we need to react due to a market change, this is asking the council to grant the city administrator discretion to increase up to 10%.
Ms. Hall.
Thank you, Mayor. How many times has it fallen, or I guess not fallen, but how many times has it gone above 5%? In the past couple of years?
Once. But it went to council. Because it wasn't, it was supposed to be greater than 5%, and so it went to council.
Yeah, I guess I don't mind the other additions in there, but I think I keep it at 5% before it comes before the council. But then all the other changes you put in there, I like.
So I have a question on so what this is saying is in January somebody, it's determined that they need a market rate adjustment in their job classification. Maybe it's one employee, maybe it's two or three, but they still have their anniversary date, and I guess maybe just the anniversary date. So they would be getting two raises during that year? A market rate adjustment and their raise?
Not necessarily, but potentially. If the employee is within their steps, you know, if they're at step three and they're going to be going to step four, yes. But it would, the whole scale would be adjusted upward by X percent.
So the whole scale of everybody in that job classification or the whole city?
That job.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's staying at 5% myself. And if it has to go beyond that, bring it to city council.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm okay with the 5% also.
So close.
Okay, so section 5.
I think that there really isn't much more to talk about in section 5 except for severance pay, and that is that's a deeper dive. And so maybe when we meet again, we start with severance pay.
Okay.
I do think that's a longer conversation. Do you, Brian?
I guess quick reaction. Do we think there will be a conversation, or is council going to say no, leave it as it is?
So the only thing I had the question about was the stillbirth aspect. So just that would be my one question, seeing where that would fit in.
What aspect?
Stillbirth.
Oh, under vacation. Sorry, under leave.
Yes, thank you for bringing that up. That is covered within the FMLA.
Okay.
It goes, there is language in the FMLA that says an employee may take leave to recover from childbirth, including to recover from stillbirth, or may take leave to care for a spouse recovering from childbirth. It's fact sheet 28. We have honored this in the past, including offering funeral leave for the employee. So we do it.
Awesome. Thank you.
I guess real quick, does staff have any suggestions for changes to severance pay, or is the purple the edits that you're asking for?
Yes, I have suggestions.
Okay. Well, then we should. All right, we'll start it. We'll start it.
Pick up next time on 5.8.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, everybody, for such great feedback.
Thank you.
Thanks for all your work.
Okay.
Huh?
Thank you for all your work.
Yes.
So my ears are plugged up tonight. I don't know what I'm talking.
Okay, discuss legislative advocacy. Right.
I'll kick it off briefly, but I think it was the last work session. Actually, Councilmember Musgrove requested this discussion. It's generally a short enough one where I think it would fit in well tonight. But ultimately, high level, the legislation session is considering an act known as the North Star Act, which would prohibit various actions by government agents on report immigration enforcement purposes. High level in monitoring some of the more contentious bills that are going on, it doesn't sound like this one has traction this year. It was introduced last year, but not saying that it can't gain it by any means either. So that's kind of my high-level summary of what's going on. I don't know if Councilor Musgrove maybe add to it based on her request.
Thank you. This was brought to my attention by a press conference, and within a week, or within that week's time, there was a Northern County, the county board came together and had a resolution that said that they do not support this. And it looked like both the leadership in the House and the Senate agreed, but there's been discussion since then that they may try to do this into the omnibus bill and into other legislation if they can. I feel this is very detrimental to the state of Minnesota's economy. Just other cities that have made their states or their cities, their counties, a sanctuary, have had a lot of financial responsibilities that have taken away from the responsibility to take care of the residents of those counties and of those cities. It's been a burden on the police departments. And I just feel like, we need to say something and just let the legislature know that we don't support this. I am more supportive of a resolution since I think things have kind of died down as far as in the news about it, but I think that the discussion among politicians has been that this is still on the table. And so I sent Brian a copy of the resolution that was made by, I think it's McLeod County. And so I feel like bringing a resolution forward would let our legislators know that, and I think if our governor is any concerned about the position of different cities and counties are around the state, I think it behooves us to answer that question that he might not want to ask, but that is out there, that we do not support this North Star Act, that is.
So I have a question with the county and the resolution they made. Like, what practical application, if it were to pass, would they plan to use? As in, would they cooperate with immigration law enforcement anyway? And, or were they just saying we don't like this? Or what were they, I guess, what was the goal from how you read it?
It's a good question. I don't have it pulled up in front of me, so I can grab it.
Is this something that, if it did pass, we could... opposition. Or we have to do that prior.
Chief Caters would be best to answer it, but how I read the statute, it is prohibiting government agents, which in essence law enforcement officers, from enforcing various laws. I don't know what the penalty would be if say this act gets approved and Ramsey PD continues to work with various federal level and enact those laws. So I think right now, if we were to pass this resolution or something to that effect, saying we don't support it, it's really just expressing our desire to leave things as is. And I highly doubt the state would give cities an opt-out clause, though. So.
Thank you. So I think my follow-up on it, that is, so one thing is if you're making a resolution, you can make a statement. The other thing is if you wanted to ignore whatever comes down the pipe, it's taking action versus not taking action. And that's one thing that I think would put us in a weird position. It's totally different if you ask someone to not take an action versus... be active in spite of what you're being told to do. So I don't know, I'm not necessarily opposed to it, but it's just a statement we'd be making. But I don't think I wouldn't put it in the legislative agenda. I'd make it a separate resolution if you're going to do that.
So if we use their resolution as a template, they basically are just stating where the enforcement for this comes from, federal government versus the state, that that is the duty of the officers, as Brian was saying, to keep the city or county, in this example, safe. And they just spoke against the passage of this, and they were not supportive of it. They didn't lay out anything that they said that they would do if it did pass. I think they would probably come together with a different resolution at that point. But right now, their language is just stating that they don't support this and are encouraging the legislature to not pass it. So I can get behind that sentiment in the language.
Council, how do you guys feel about just coming up with a resolution?
I have no interest. I think it's a distraction. I don't think it's going to pass. If I were in the legislature, I wouldn't vote for it.
But if it's in the omnibus bill and you have your project, your Highway 10 funding, or your water treatment funding?
You can't use that as an example, though, because NISCA voted against the water treatment plant.
He voted against the...
He did, because it was in the omnibus bill.
Yeah.
And there were things that he didn't like in it.
Right, that's what I'm saying, that some people may not be persuaded by that. They may just vote for it.
Sure. I think my point is this is in city business. We have other things. That's my position on it. Solid.
Thank you, Mayor. I think to follow up on that, I think it is city business because ultimately if you burden your schools and you're paying for people who cannot pay into the tax, like your people who are like, they're not going to be paying taxes on their income. The kids are going to go to school. You could go down the list. It's going to cost the taxpayer. So it does, ultimately, it's going to affect us locally. It does. You're going to have people who are driving without insurance, and we're going to have more accidents, so logically there's going to be more problems, and someone has to carry those burdens. I think it does affect people locally, so I see value there. It's just, to me, more like of a timing of thing, and recognizing the legislature doesn't really care
one bit about what we think. And I think, you know, that's a reality. Does it mean you never make a statement? No. What are you going to do with your statement? Is it just a statement, or is it something you can take action on? So I'm not opposed to discussing it further. It just more, it would have to be a resolution rather than a legislative agenda item, and maybe something to talk about further and think about the value or not value of doing it and timing.
Mr. Mayor, should we maybe alternative number four, just kind of continue to monitor it, watch, you know, I'm sure the Law Enforcement Association is watching this closely, and you know, I think from my standpoint, if some larger advocacy groups are starting to weigh in, and you kind of jump on with them and provide letters of support via what they're pushing, you know, that could be a viable option.
Or we might be that motivating entity that helps others make a decision to do something, versus nobody saying anything, and then the legislature says, oh, look, there's just one county. Everybody else wants it or supports it. So,
how do you feel?
Not ready to do anything tonight, but I like the idea of keeping it just on the radar.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't support the legislation. I'm just trying to think. Because I see how this does affect cities, but I mean, there's a lot of legislation out there that I don't support, that I don't know if how beneficial it would be for us as a city to make a stand on it. Like, what kind of impact would we have? I guess we were there for their discussion if we wanted. Would this be something that we would want to say as a city or more as individuals? Because I guess this does have impact on city with a lot of things like that, so it would just be, further thought about, I guess.
So I also do not support the legislation, but I guess I'm not ready to take a hard stance today. So why don't we just continue to monitor it, and we'll revisit it if need be.
Okay.
Future topics real quick.
That open. This list is pretty well up to date. The next work session, we're hoping to get a really big chunk of the personnel policy addressed. I don't know if we'll quite finish it all next work session, but we are getting closer. And then bring back the strategic plan with the action items. I'm hopeful we can finish that up at the next work session and then bring it back for formal adoption on the 26th. March 26th work session, you can see there's four items on there. They're all, you know, kind of shorter discussion points, but we're starting to knock off a couple of these that have been sitting on there for a while. So, and then a pretty sizable discussion will probably be the waterfront park. We've got it slated for the first work session in April. The idea behind that is really to give staff guidance on what are we going to do with it. One idea that you'll see in the case, but you can start thinking about it now, is, you know, do we put a advisory question on the November ballot and get some community feedback? So kind of hoping to get to a point where we're either going to keep moving forward on the waterfront park or scale back the plans and put them on hold. So, all right.
So we'll end our work session today, and I'll see everybody in the council in a little bit. Thank you. Oh, that one too.
I want that.
Yeah, I want that.
Do you mean the copy slide?